This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Doug Marrone. Training camp 2017 underway. Happy New Year, guys. Logs, what's up? Coach, good to see you, man.
All right, JP, ready to go.
Here we go. Ready to go. You're going already, man. One
right.
Practice down.
That's right. We just have one person.
You're hydrating.
We just have one person left. You have to run the conditioning test after we're done here.
No thanks.
JP does?
Yeah.
Oh,
I want like to see that. Exactly.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It's entertainment.
JP was out there, Doug, complaining in practice today. His toe was hurting. What else?
It's hot.
The car's in the shop.
Yeah, the car's in the shop. He's hot. You know, yeah. I mean, it was just on and on. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there going, JP, it's like 85 degrees. It's the first day of training camp. You're supposed to be at your best.
At your best. You would think you'd be at your best, JP.
Football shape's different, Doug, than working out shape, I'll tell you.
Well, it's like, you know, what have you been doing? I mean, I would think that you would simulate in the off-season training, you know, standing on the field, walking around, yeah. Taking notes,
drinking
doing
coffee.
Those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so this way you can acclimate yourself, you know, to what you have to do now.
Well, give me a few days. I'll get my legs underneath me, yep. And we'll get going from there.
Speaking of getting acclimated, for years, you know, I'll just never forget, you know, you try to find a way to get yourself in shape for training camp. And you can work together with a group. You can do it on your own. You can, I mean, run hills, run the beach, do all these things. But you just can't simulate that first 3 days of training camp. And it was apparent today.
Well, I think you're right. I think as a coach, you feel the responsibility to make sure you tell the players because of, you know, your experience as a coach that – you know, hey, when you report, this is going to be difficult. This is going to be hard. You know, the weather down here, you're going to have to acclimate yourself to that. You're going to have to train. But I think, like you said, whether, you know, some people will train and wear a sweatshirt to simulate. And we haven't even put the pads on yet because we are in this acclimation period. I think it's something that it really does take a couple of days, you know, to get your body and then get your legs back underneath you.
Well, as a coach, were you acclimated on the first day? I saw your shirt.
Well,
now, you were sweating pretty good.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, you know, as a coach, what's interesting is the players leave, obviously, somewhere in June after the mandatory minicamp. You know, and then you kind of take a little break, you know, mentally. You know, you're getting everything prepared, obviously, for training camp. And then all of a sudden, you're on your own. You know, you're sitting down and you're saying, I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to get these players. And it really just starts to build up. And then all of a sudden, you know, you come back in, you see a couple of players walking around. You know, you see new signage or the new things. Obviously, we have the indoor, things like that. You start getting excited. And then you get fired up for that first team meeting. You're like, okay, I waited, you know, this whole offseason for this. I'm fired up for this team meeting. And you go 100 miles an hour. And you're fired up. And you're on the field. And you're running around. And you're bringing a ton of energy.
Well, you talk about the anticipation of that first meeting. How many hours did you kind of prepare what you were going to say in that first team meeting? Because it is the first impression that your team has of you and what the message is going forward.
You're absolutely right. I think, you know, I don't know if I can put a time as far as amount of hours, but you do put quite a bit of time into that because, you know, what I did you know, I kind of went back and I started looking at things that obviously that was said in press conferences, that were said in obviously private meetings, you know, between myself, Coach Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, Shad Khan, our owner. And really, when you get in front of that meeting, like you said, it's so important. The first thing out of your mouth is going to be the most important thing. And we came out there and obviously the main point of that meeting was, you know, we're here to win. And then we obviously, you know, talked about winning, and we talked about, you know, how we were going to do that. And, you know, you talk about it, but then you have to go out there and actually, you know, put forward all that work.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they hear the term winning, they associate it with only one thing, and that's what happens on game day. But the term winning can be applied to everything you do on a daily basis, from the drill that you're in to the treatment that you get to the meals that you eat to what you drink. everything.
And Jeff, you're exactly right. I mean, and that's how it was addressed to the players. It's, you know, you really have to win that moment, and wherever you are, whether you're in a team meeting like you've said, or you know, you're in the training room and you're rehabbing, or you're coming in from a nutrition standpoint, you know, winning all your choices, winning, you know, your competitive edge, and really that's what we talk to our players about, because in doing all those things, it gives you an opportunity to, again, it's very difficult to win in this league on Sunday. We all know that. But to create that competitive spirit, and also when everyone's trying to accomplish one goal, and that's to win, then obviously accountability comes into it.
You feel your team has been responsive to the message so far?
I mean, it's the first day. I don't want to jump ahead. I mean, I think it's very simple. I think I don't know what every other team says, but I'm sure a lot of 32 other teams said the same thing, you know. And so, you know, my whole thing is, what's going to separate you from everybody else? And, you know, call me old school. I just think you have to work harder, you know, than everyone else that's out there. So you create a schedule where you maximize the time and you just outwork people. And that's what we're trying to get done now. We're trying to create a workload and a work ethic for our players that we can, you know, catch up. I've said that before, you know, where, you know, I feel that we're getting more reps than other teams, that we're, you know, we're out there in the weather, you know what I'm saying, going out there and practicing and pushing ourselves through it and going through that type of adversity. So I just don't know any other way. I really don't.
Yeah, when you know, during the summertime, you probably haven't seen me a whole lot because I try to be pretty scarce. And was scarce for quite some time, I must say, especially from the hallway. And I guess it was last week or 2 weeks ago, come into the hallway, which is the way that the players enter. There's new paint and there's logos. And the one that I love the most is earn the right to win, which is right when you come in.
Yep, nothing's given. It's always earned. It really is. So, you know, you have to earn the right to win in this league. And like I said before, and you said it, it's minute by minute, day by day, and building it up and being consistent. So, you know, today we went out there, and obviously we had a practice. It was cut short. It was a long practice, and it's one that we got to continue to improve upon and get better. You know, obviously there are some things that went well. But at the end of the day, you know, we just have to keep working hard. We have to continue to get better. We have to continue to coach better. And then at the end of the day, you know, put back to back to back. Because what we've talked to the players about is this. You know, we want to be able to win the physical battle. Well, you know, again, here we are. I'm saying it, but we have to go out there and practice that way. You know, and that's not really going to start till the pads come on.
Saturday night.
You know, next we got to win the turnover battle. We got to take care of the ball. We got to create turnovers. The next thing we got to do with our football team, and I've told them this, is some way, somehow, we are going to have to fight, scratch, whatever it may be, to get ourselves into this fourth quarter. And then when it comes down to the fourth quarter, and you're talking about conditioning, and you're talking about mental toughness, you're going to have to find a way to win.
During this I guess you could say the dead period, which most people really don't have a whole lot to talk about with the Jaguars, which is the end of mini camp until the players report. It actually started a little bit earlier for you guys as coaches. When you guys came back as a coaching staff, how long before the players came back did your coaching staff assemble to get ready for training camp?
Well, we had the obviously, we had the rookies report on the 19th, so we brought our weight coaches back in to make sure that they were acclimated and ready to go. On the 21st, we brought our quarterbacks in, so obviously our offensive coordinator, our quarterback coach, came in then. When the quarterbacks, we brought in our injured veterans again on the 21st, and then we brought our coaches in the following day on that weekend. And what we try to get accomplished there is you want to get everyone right back into a routine. You want to get everyone. What happens is you leave, you go on vacation, and when you first get the job, there's an edge about you. You know, there's an edge. There's, you know, okay, I've got to get this done. We've got to get this right. We've got to get this, you know. And then all of a sudden you start going, you get into a routine, then you leave on vacation. So the whole point is when everyone comes back is, hey, well, let's get back here. this is our policies, this is what we believe in, this is our principles, this is, you know, what we're, how we're going to build this football team, this is how we're going to coach them, how we're going to practice, and start creating that edge again with the coaches so that when the players come, we're ready to go.
And I think you made a good point in your press conference the other day. It's got to be straightforward and clear at the beginning. Communication has to be clear. No matter if they've heard it 10 times, it's got to be clear and right there to the point.
You're exactly right. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, we're a team that hasn't won a lot of games. And, you know, I think about, you know, the other day in a press conference, I got asked, what are you going to say to your team? What's the first thing you're going to say? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to talk about winning. And it happened in the press conference when they introduced myself, Tom, and Dave Caldwell was there, and Shad was there. You know, the question came up, and, you know, Tom grabbed the mic, and he's like, you know, we're here to win, you know, and we all know that conference. And then the other day, the first press conference, and it made me think, you know, gosh, you know, I'm getting these questions, and I'm going to address it with the team. You know, people don't even think of us and think of the word win, and that has to change.
Part of before we take a break, when I made a comment about the coaches, you know, every year the NFL has interns that are in different camps. Are there any interns of note that you have brought in for this training camp here?
We did. The first thing I sat with Ron Middleton, who's our tight end coach, and we talked about, you know, what we were looking for, and you know, I wanted to find the coaches that, you know, maybe don't have the networking. Maybe they didn't start out at the biggest colleges, but they've worked extremely hard, you know, to get themselves involved. So we kind of set that type of parameters to what we're going to do, and we brought two coaches in, and I'm a big believer in putting those coaches to work, getting them to know obviously what we want taught, and then actually get them out there and teaching the players. I think that when you have internship programs, I've always taken a lot of pride. I've had three interns that have worked with me in the past in the NFL. All three are actually NFL coaches now. So I think it's a very important. I support the project of the NFL, the Bill Walsh Diversity Fellowship. So, you know, we're in it full time.
Let's come back and get into the offensive line. The bell cow has signed an extension. We'll hear from the head coach on Brandon Linder when we return. This is the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
Go to Jaguars.com/get in the game and register for your chance to win a spot on the field at the August 24th game against the Carolina Panthers. 10 lucky winners will receive 2 pregame field passes and 2 tickets to the game. The contest closes Thursday, August 3rd. Doug Marone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marone. Offensive line, one of the big storylines coming into this camp. Who plays where? Well, there was a little news on that front earlier this week when Brandon Linder signed a 5-year extension, reported just over $10 million a year to get him in a Jaguars uniform for the next 5 seasons. The bell cow is here for a while, and he's a good football player.
He is, and again, we all know that. You know, obviously he's performed well enough and really earned himself the contract. But I think, you know, my conversations with Brandon, and Brandon feels the same way. You know, obviously as an organization, when you start, you know, paying players, you know, for their performance, there's also something else that we're looking for too. And that's the winning again. So I think that, you know, my conversations with Brandon, you know, he's done a very good job. He's a very good football player. But now how do we get the wins out of it? And I told him, I said, that's what I look at. I said, you know now that you're going to be here, and financially, obviously, you're in a good situation. And I've been with players before, and Jeff, I'd love to hear your opinion on it. You know, after a while, once they feel financially secure, once they have that security, they've gotten that thing, the next, you know, a lot of times on their player's mind, you know, it's winning. It goes back to winning because they don't have to worry about, you know, where they are financially or anything of that nature. They're kind of set. So, you know, you're hoping that, you know, other players get that early in their careers. And Brandon, I told him, I said, hey, this is part of it. I mean, I expect you to, you know, be a big influence on us winning football games.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that you don't worry about, okay, he's got the paycheck, now he's going to rest on his laurels. That's not the kind of person, and he's not wired that way. And you know, I was very curious to see where he was going to play because, you know, during the OTAs and the minicamp, you had him working back at his old position, which was right guard. Talk a little bit about the thought process of him playing center versus guard, because I'm a big believer, and you played offensive line, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I always thought if you had to have a choice of having your best player, to me, the center position, and I'm not trying to discount the guards, but the center position is a little bit more of a premium position.
Well, I think it probably is, you know, due to the fact that, you know, obviously you're snapping the ball to the quarterback every play, which is obviously important, and not just the actual snap, just that comfort level of, you know, IDing defenses and making calls and being on the same page. So I think there's a little bit of a comfort level that comes with the center and the quarterback together. I think also most of the time you would say all in my experience, most calls always go inside out. So they all start at the center position. So the center is the one that's really, you know, leading that group with the calls, making sure that, you know, everybody's on the right page with it. So I don't tend to say that that's not true. I would say that that is true. But in the case, what we're looking for, we're looking for the five best players. And, you know, we're fortunate enough that Brandon is, you know, obviously an outstanding center. And he, when he played guard, he was outstanding at guard, one of the top ranked guards in the league. So, you know, we have that flexibility. And at the end of the day, what's best for the team is our five best players. But, you know, right now we had Brandon at center all day today.
And there's a lot of talk about, and it was addressed by you, your opening remarks of training camp. Conversation about, you talk about getting the best five on the field. Well, you've got Brandon Albert, veteran guy who's been to a couple Pro Bowls at left tackle. You have a draft pick in Cam Robinson at left tackle. And I know in your comments yesterday you said that it really wasn't talked about as far as Cam Robinson doing anything other than left tackle. But in the back of your mind, are there other options that are a possibility if he is a part of the best five and Brandon Albert is a part of that best five?
No doubt, Jeff, no doubt. I mean, you know, but right now, you're absolutely right. Right now we have them concentrating on this, and then when they start playing, you know, again, the pads haven't even come on yet. The pads come on Saturday, and then we really have a good grind now. You know, we have five straight day of pads next week, which is something that strategically, when I looked at the schedule, I wanted to make sure that we were able to do with our team so we can make sure we go through that grind of kind of like the old training camp, even though it's not close to what it was like. And I really think at the end of that time, we'll have a good feel of who that best five is. And then, you know, once we say, okay, hey, this is who we feel the best five is, and then I think then maybe those things will be open of who plays where and what if we have one of the best fives coming from one position, you know, two are coming from one position.
Let's come back and discuss the guy they're blocking for. Blake Bortles, Jaguars quarterback. Big season for him coming up. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Going out there was just kind of grooving everything, making everything consistent, making sure, because you know, that's kind of, you go out there and you're throwing air, you throw, there's nobody around you, there's nobody coming at you, you're not thinking about anything, you're just throwing. So that's the kind of stuff you work on, and then you bring it out here and hope it holds up. And now when we get out here, it's about the thought process, the decision making, the accuracy, and kind of all the football related things. So it felt good. Obviously still a long way to go, a lot to work on, but I thought it was a good start.
Blake Bortles, Jaguars quarterback today after the first training camp practice. Doug Marone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marone. Yeah, Blake went to California twice with his personal throwing coaches this offseason, right after the season, and again at the end of June, into July. You said earlier it's a day-to-day thing with him. It'll be that's how you'll review his work, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think you wait to get over time. I think it's the big thing. You know, you sit there and every day it's like, let's just get into a routine. Let's see how it goes. But, you know, there are certain things that you look for. You know, I was looking to see where Blake was going to start today. I thought, you know, at the times I've been with him for the start, I thought this was his best start, you know, that he has had since I've been here. I thought that, you know, it showed the hard work that he's put in the off season to come back, and again, it's a you know, progress now and every day, making the right decisions, learning every day, and, you know, getting a great feel now that we have everyone here, the receivers and everyone, you know, back. So, you know, working with them every day and then start to string these practices together and start to string good practice together. And that's, you know, no different than anybody else on the team.
I think one of the natural concerns from somebody looking on the outside is, okay, this is another offensive system for Blake Bortles. He's got a different offensive coordinator. He's got a different position coach. But because you're his position coach is now the coordinator, he does have a new position coach. How much carryover is he going to have from last year's system into this system? And also talk about Milanovic, the quarterback's coach, and that role that he will be able to provide with Blake.
Well, that's a great question because we started to transition the system when actually when Coach Hackett became the coordinator last year. So he started to transition a little bit of the things and tweak some things without making, you know, wholesale changes. So it started last year, and, you know, the last 2 weeks, you know, Blake played obviously better than he had been playing the fall, you know, in earlier in the year. So, you know, and it was working on his footwork, working on his timing, things of that nature. Obviously, becoming more balanced was big. You know, we obviously ran the ball more. So, you know, those things helped him. So when it's a full new system, I think it was good. It was something that I believe that he can understand, that he started to get a sense with. He had a little bit of success with, if we want to call it that, at the end of the year. So I think he was excited about that and what we were trying to accomplish with him and where we were going. My thought process in bringing in Scott Milanovic as the quarterback was, again, I didn't know Scott, and we brought in a couple of people to interview for the quarterback position. But what I wanted is like a lot of the other positions, was someone that is just going to watch the quarterback, that's going to train him on his footwork, train him on his mechanics. You know, obviously he's going to teach him the system and do all those things. But when practice starts, obviously Coach Hackett's the offensive coordinator. He's looking at the schematics of things going on. He's moving around. He's making sure everyone's being coached the way we want them coached, along with myself. And then Coach Milanovic, he's specifically watching Blake every play from a standpoint of mechanics, the same with Chad, the same with Brandon Allen. So I wanted to get that type of attention at that position.
And the language. A lot of the language carries over from last year to this year because, you know, in certain schemes, they might call things completely different. A lot of that they're going to be the same for him and the other quarterbacks as well, so that there's continuity?
We tried to look at the system, and it's obviously it's easier for Coach Hackett. We did change some things that we felt was important that would make it just a little bit better clarity to him and the rest of the quarterbacks on what exactly we wanted to do.
Head Coach Doug Marrone with us. His leadership in the building. It's his fourth year here, the whole offseason coming in, offseason program here, now into training camp. How's the team respond to number five?
Well, I think this is something that you build. I think that when you first start training camp, you know, the challenge is everyone's out there. They're competitive for obviously a position, obviously a job. Mm-hmm. And the challenge for us is to make sure that, you know, the team, you build a team also at the same time. I think it's too early for that right now. Yeah. You know, our focus and our concentration is hey, let's go out there, let's compete, let's do that. You know, I've talked to the players. I think, you know, you see some players that try to show leadership. I think that's just going to come about. I don't think that you can plan it. I think you can't say, hey, listen, I need you to be a leader. I need you to do that. But the one thing I do see is with Blake is that obviously he feels very comfortable in what we're doing. As shown today, I thought he did a nice job of walking into the huddle and handling it. And there's obviously things that we've got to get better at.
And I think with any position, leadership, that comes with good play, too.
There's no doubt.
I mean, you have to earn the right from your teammates, and that has to be exemplified in your consistency and the way you play the game.
That's true.
Let's come back and get on the defensive side and a very important part of football, special teams. Very important.
Yes, it is.
Let's come back on the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
I mean, physically, a very demanding camp for us, and it should be that way. We need to go through this. You know, we need to experience this, have a lot of
great growth during this time and go through a tough physical camp so that in week one, we're hardened and ready to play.
Paul Posluszny earlier this week at the start of training camp 2017. The Doug Marrone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone. Paul Posluszny's moved over positions this year. Miles Jack to the middle. That's one of the key changes on defense. It's a day in. Yes, I get it. But there's some pressure on Miles Jack to step in that middle linebacker role and play well.
There's no doubt. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously he has the ability. Now he has to go out there and do it. And he has to, you know, be able to show all his teammates that he can play that position. So, you know, we haven't, you know, I have not seen him, obviously, in pads yet. So, you know, it's you know, defense, you have to be able to tackle. You got to get up in there and hit him. So we'll see what, you know, how it goes. But again, he's done a nice job. He's really grown from the first time we put him in that position. He's worked extremely hard. Obviously, you know, I believe that Puz has helped him make that transition. And we're looking forward to having those three guys on the field at the same time.
Love Puz. And love his comments right there. You know, we got to get hardened.
Oh,
I mean, as a coach, you just got to love that.
I mean, there's you know, Coach Parcells, in talking with him, was like, you know, who is that? He doesn't know him personally. He just watches him play, and he's like, you tell him I think that he is one heck of a football player and I have a ton of respect for him. And that means something coming from someone like Coach Parcells. But I think, you know, when you're around him, I think everyone that has been around him has that type of respect for him. I think, you know, when I shut my eyes and I think about, you know, what does it mean to be a pro, you know, his picture comes into my mind. And I think that's the greatest compliment you can have.
And with him, you know, the position switch, embracing it, spending time in the offseason, trying to learn the position. I have a lot of respect for him as well. And one of the things that's going to be asked of Paul Posluszny, Miles Jack, everyone, is the contribution in special teams and with their coach, Joe DeCamillis. And that's something that you've said, hey, look, Joe, all of our guys are going to be available for special teams. That's got to be important.
It absolutely is. And, you know, obviously we're excited to have Joe D on the staff. He's an excellent special teams coach. Mike Mallory is his assistant. But I really believe that. I think, you know, like I said before in my past, you know, and having this job before, one of my mistakes is I didn't do a good enough job my first year as a head coach in this league, you know, paying at least enough attention from a personnel standpoint to the special teams. And I thought that that hurt our football team. The following year, you know, I put a lot of attention in it, and we went from the 31st team to the second team, you know, in special teams. So I didn't obviously want to make that mistake again. When I came here, you know, and I went back and I thought about my career. I just remember that Joe Marciano was a special teams coach in New Orleans.
Excellent coach.
Yeah, and Joe was a coach, and I remember being in a room, and he said, Sam Mills, stand up. And he said, that is the best special teams player on our team. Now, he's not going to play during the preseason, but in during the season, he will be on special teams, and he will play it as hard or harder than anyone in this room, and he is our starting middle linebacker and a captain of our team. And I think that statement from Joe kind of stuck with me when I made the transition into coaching, that, you know, who are you to say, well, I play defense, I don't play special teams, or I play offense, I don't play special teams. You know, I think it's extremely important, especially, you know, when you're fighting and scratching trying to win.
By the way, Joe Marciano might be as good of a fisherman as he is a coach.
He's a good man. He's a good man. I've known Joe for a long time.
A lot of people would say the fans were, it's just one snap, special teams. But it's a very important snap. Yeah. It can turn a game.
Well, I always say the same thing. I said, you know, everyone, you know, we have Carson Tinker.
And, oh, do we? Yes, we know.
Right, but do you know what's funny about that position? No one ever worries about that position. No one ever talks about that position. The minute that player, God forbid, something ever happens to that position, all of a sudden, straight panic sets in. And I think it's important. And you see, you know, the games are won so many times right at the end, you know, with field goals. There's a lot of hidden things that I think fans might not see when they watch games of, you know, certain punts or punt returns, that hidden yardage that people talk about in field position that, you know, equate obviously to points or not giving up points. So I think there's a lot of things that go into special teams that you know, maybe when you're on the outside, you may take it for granted. But I think when you're on the inside and you're really studying this game, you obviously understand how important it is.
I was reading today that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots added another practice with another team prior to another preseason game, and you guys are going to get the opportunity to go up there, not this week, coming up the week after that, and then have the Bucs come here. As far as the development of your football team, the ability to have that, and I just remember when we did it, when I was playing, the heightened atmosphere was always good because people cranked up their game a little bit more. And that's easier from a coaching standpoint because they're going to crank it up and you're going to get to evaluate even more.
Well, I look at it two ways. I do agree with that. But the other thing I think about is in training camp, you're going against the same players. And sometimes those matchups are maybe favor one or the other. So now all of a sudden you're going against a different team, different types of matchup, different types of skill. And sometimes some players will jump out at you. You know, maybe someone's having trouble blocking Calais Campbell and Malik Jackson. You know, then they go up there and those guys are taller, longer. Maybe they go up and play someone else, and all of a sudden they start playing well against him. You're like, hey, we got to take a look at him. Let's see, how do we get him to defend the tall, longer people. So I think that's good. The other thing that I do like about it is your quarterback can get time knowing he's not going to get hit. So you get a lot of good looks. You get a lot of different coverages. You're going against a different team. So I think you can get, you know, a lot of work, you know, for the quarterback position.
Doug, I know you have a team meeting coming up.
Big
right?
Team meeting. Team meeting number two.
I like it.
Spent a lot of time on that one, too. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, it's not like you just spent time on the first one and then all of a sudden you're just kind of winging the rest of them. But, yeah. So I'm excited to speak to the team tonight. And, let's, you know, we'll talk about practice. We'll talk about where we have to go and what we have to do.
And hydrate.
We definitely have to hydrate. I think that's the one thing. If we didn't learn that earlier, we've definitely learned it today.
We'll see you on the field tomorrow.
Great,
Coach.
JP, thanks. Jeff, thank you.
Doug Marone's show continues in a moment on Jaguars Radio.
It's a process. I mean, some guys take a while to get going when it comes to the young guys and, like, rookies. You know, some of the vets is trying to shake off the cobwebs and get going, get their foot in. So it'll take a little bit, but, you know, I mean, I can tell right now that the team's special, got a real opportunity, but it comes down to execution.
Calais Campbell earlier this week, as the Jags reported for training camp. The Doug Marone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marone out of here. A team meeting tonight at the top of the hour. He's got to prepare for to get ready for day number two on the field tomorrow. So we're in it now. Hey, training camp's here.
Yeah, and the schedule, you know, talking with Doug and also, you know, guys that have played the game, you know, that was a very demanding practice today.
Yeah, right.
Roughly 2.5 hours.
And they missed a little at the very end with rain,
A little bit of it, but they didn't miss much. Yeah. And, you know, some of the guys were starting to drop, so to speak, drop out. I don't want to say like flies, but they were dropping out here and there with cramps, et cetera.
There was a string of plays in a row, about four or five, where there was a guy on the ground every play.
Every play that had to have their, you know, the foot pushed back and couldn't barely get off the field because of the cramps. But that's typical, you know. And today was not that really hot of a day. And there was some cloud cover. And then, you know, when the breeze started to kick up before the thunderstorm came or the rain came, it actually cooled off very nicely. But, you know, that's good for him. You know, it's kind of a shock to the system, but I think Doug was dead on the money. He said, you know, look, if they didn't understand about the importance of diet and hydration, they're certainly going to get it now after the experience today. Because I think as a coach, you want to come out of the gate and let them know, hey, we're here to do one thing, and that's get better and get to work. And so I was smiling for 2.5 hours today watching. But you know what? You go back to, you know, and I hate to be one of these guys that always goes back to the old days, but the training camp schedule that they have today, even though a lot of players may look at it and say it's very hard, if you compared it to some of the training camps of years gone by, it's not very hard.
No two-a-days, no full pads both times.
Any athlete right. should be able to withstand a 2.5-hour strenuous practice and to be able to be recovered enough the next day to go right back and do it again.
Well, we'll say, and this is some of the players' remarks about this, that football shape is a little different than working out in the off-season shape. So the first time you hit the field and you're running 11-on-11 for the first time in, what, 6 weeks, And then especially when they put pads on for the first time, it just – you have to do it once.
Well, first of all, I mean, the number of repetitions that you're getting in a practice is much higher than That's you right. would – you know, typically get as an individual, unless you're Paul Posluszny. Paul Posluszny probably works out, you know, that would be equal to like three practices on a daily workout. Because I've seen his warm up on game day, and his warm up on game day gets me tired.
It's exhausting.
Oh my gosh. You know, so, but when you're doing individual workouts, you know, it's hard because what you're doing typically is you're doing drills or movements to where you know where you're going. Well, in football, as a defender, and as even an offensive player, a lot of times you don't know where you're going, so you're reacting. And it takes more energy and more muscles to be able to react than if you knew exactly where you were going. So and that's why football shape is so much different. Then on top of that, when you get to Saturday, you're now trying to get into football shape, but then you're trying to get into pad shape. And there's another adjustment period there. It typically takes about 3 days for the legs to kind of calm down a little bit and feel like, okay, I got my feet under me now. Mm-hmm. Well, on that third day, when you're just starting to feel like you've got a comfort level, the pads are on. And so then there's another adjustment period that's going to have to take place.
And then next week, it's five consecutive days with full pads.
That's going to be a grind.
This team has never – I don't think they've seen that in the recent memory here.
Well, they need it. I mean, look, the winning, to use the term, you know, has not happened much. And so I love the logo to where you earn the right to win, because that's exactly what it takes. You've got to earn the right to win. So they've got a lot of earning to do.
Let's come back and discuss some competition. Where on this roster and where on this depth chart are you seeing the most competition in training camp? We'll discuss that when we come back. It's the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
There are nine more training camp dates open to the public this summer, including tomorrow. Saturday's practice is for season ticket members only. That's a night practice. I believe 6:30 is the start time on Saturday. Next week's the big week. Five padded practices and then two workouts against the Buccaneers week two of the preseason. To attend, you must register at jaguars.com/training camp. The Doug Marrone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Coach Marrone out of here. A team meeting at the top of the hour. They're getting ready for practice number two tomorrow. And ahead of
Before you go anywhere, I just wanted to make mention, you know, this practice that the Jaguars have with the Buccaneers is going to be great because the Jaguar fans are going to be able to come and watch it.
Yep.
The practices with the New England Patriots are also going to be interesting, because first and foremost, I'm very, very much looking forward to that. You're talking about the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, and to be able to experience and see how they operate their business, I'm very much looking forward to that. And on top of that, I don't know if you saw the reports, but today New England had their, I don't know if it was their first or whatever practice, but today was an open practice to the public, and I think 15,000 people showed up for the New England practice today. So when the Jaguars practice against them, I'm assuming that those are going to be open to the public. When I was talking with Doug earlier about how it becomes a heightened environment when you're practicing against another team, it is. I mean, Doug was dead on the money about having the players exposed to different types of matchups, different type of players, different type of schemes. But the heightened environment, I think, also plays a big part in that. And when this team goes to New England to practice against the Patriots, if there's going to be 15,000 people there, that's going to be a heightened environment.
15,000, the defending world champs, the best coach-quarterback combo probably in NFL history.
No question.
And you get 2 days with them in their house.
And I don't know how much Tom Brady is going to be exposed when defensive linemen are running around.
That's a good point. Yeah, you'll see him on the practice field. You won't see him in the game that Thursday night. Let's put it that way. Practice number two tomorrow. In your opinion, Jeff, what is the most competitive position on this roster right now? Where might you see some moves in depth chart, if there is such a thing, before regular season?
Well, I think the most interesting one and the most talked about is offensive line. But I think the most competitive, I think, is going to be defensive line. And I'm talking about guys vying for reps on the defensive front.
Okay.
Because that's going to be very challenging. I mean, there's some very good football players on that defensive line. Now, there's not any studs, you know, that are just, hands down, the men, you know, Clayce Campbell is a stud.
He's one.
Malik Jackson is a stud.
Yeah, that's two.
But, you know, the defensive end position, I think, is very intriguing. I'm talking about in sub-situations.
Okay.
Because Clayce Campbell is going to be an inside pass rusher when they go to their nickel package, their dime package, sub package. But the ends, who's going to play and how are they going to divvy up those reps at that point, I think is going to be very interesting. And there's some guys that I can't wait to see. You know, the draft pick from last year, Jonathan Woodard, is a guy that I thought was very intriguing.
Watching. Had an Achilles injury last year.
That's exactly right. You know, he came from that small school, Central Arkansas. Fun to watch his college tape, even though it was not exactly the highest of quality.
He's a large guy. I mean, he's a tall guy. Big.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's kind of not quite as tall as Clayce Campbell, but he's kind of along that mold. Yeah. You know, he's long, very long arms. The other one that I think is going to be intriguing is Smoot. And loved his college tape. Very active, quick hands, got some explosive power. But, you know, he played opposite another guy, Carroll Phillips, who went undrafted, who had more sacks than Smoot the last year when they were in Illinois, and is a very athletic guy. He's got pass rush skills. I think he's got a great opportunity to be, you know, a big contributor on special teams. It's going to be fun to watch him and see how he develops. It would have been nice to see him maybe split time between defensive end and also linebacker, as much help as the Jaguars kind of have been needing at the linebacker position. But it's going to be intriguing. I mean, who else is going to get reps on the inside? Sheldon Day's in the mix. I mean,
it's
Avery
true.
Jones is going to be – I mean, we pretty much know what the starting lineup's going to be on the interior. But who's going to get – how
going to rotate them in.
How are those reps in the rotation?
Right.
How's that going to be divvied up come game day and in the preseason? To me, that's very intriguing.
I get that we're going into practice number two tomorrow, but if you're picking, how many do you keep on the D-line today? Or is it too early? I mean, injuries are coming. There's going to be some of that.
Nine or ten.
Right around that.
Yeah, 9 or 10, you know, depending on health. And then there will be a couple guys on practice squad as well.
Let's come back, preview the week ahead, the weekend, and then next week with the 5 padded practices next week here outside of Everbank Field. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Because I want to make sure everyone understands. I think that clear communication is very important. I think that when you are in a position of leadership and you're talking to the group, that you need to make sure that you communicate clearly. I don't want to mix message that, hey, this, what's the, you know, if I started off this meeting with, give me an example of, I'm just asking it, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but like, what about if I started off with something else? Meaning anything else, then why are we here? So for me, it's important to say, this is what it's about. And that has to be the first meeting.
Head Coach Doug Marone on Wednesday.
I was kind of chuckling listening to that because, you know, you want to make sure we clearly communicate.
Yes.
And, JP, I'm sure that you saw out there today at practice as well that Doug Marone had no problem clearly communicating his thoughts to his football team.
And to all in attendance, yes.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah, he could be heard across the field.
And that's okay. That's okay if that's the way to get results.
Hey, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And look, I think he does a great job of managing the field and managing his team and working all aspects of it. So it was good to see, you know, because that's the first experience, you know, that we've ever had watching Doug Marone in the role as head coach, you know, because when he was the interim coach, we didn't get to see it. You know, practices are closed. And also when he was in Buffalo, we were here. You know, so
right.
It was good to watch it, and it was also good. And I think what's also been really good so far is that, you know, Tom Coughlin is allowing Doug Marone to be the coach. You know, you're not seeing Tom Coughlin inserting himself on the practice field as a coach.
Like in the huddle or close to the coaches.
Yes.
Like he's on the field. He's watching the
positional
drills.
Oh, he's
and doing
there.
That.
He's there. But, you know, I think that's one thing that, you know, I was kind of curious to see is, you know, in this whole process, could Tom Coughlin allow Doug Marone to be the coach?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tom Coughlin has been a head coach for a long time.
A successful head coach,
And part of being a great leader is allowing people to do their jobs. And I think that I was pleased to see how that dynamic is working, and pleased to see how Doug Marone worked the field today.
Upcoming schedule, they're on the field tomorrow. Practice number 2 for training camp, about 10:30 or so, and it is open to the public. Jaguars.com/training camp to register for free tickets. And then Saturday night, that's the one. Pads on, 6:30 start, under the lights, just outside of Everbank Field. That'll be a fun scene.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And if you're a season ticket holder, you know, sign up and come on, yep. You know, because it's only open to season ticket holders. And I'm very much looking forward to that because, you know, the big guys is really where we want to evaluate the offensive line. When they get the pads on, that's when you can really start to evaluate that position group.
For those on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, stick around. Jaguars Thursday is coming up, and you can also watch it on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars Twitter page through Periscope. For head coach Doug Marone and Jeff Loggeman, I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening to the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.